I feel really, really blessed this morning to be given this topic. When I'm choosing a chocolate out of a box of chocolates, it's a funny way to start a sermon, I know, but I never bother with the menu. How many of you don't bother with the menu? How many of you are with me? I mean, what's the point? They all taste very, very similar, don't they? And you can tell the hard ones because they've got teeth marks in, so it's really not a problem. But if I could have chosen a topic to preach on out of what's happening in these next 9 sermons, it would have been this one. So whoever organised it, thank you so much. As most of you will know, that this follows on from 2 great messages from Colin 2 weeks ago and from Kristen last week. How many of you have listened to them on the website? It's always good to do a little bit of survey. How many of you tuned in and listened on the website? Come on, don't be discouraging. Pretend if you... I mean, it's such a great resource, such a great resource. And even if you were there, if you listen to it again, these are well worth listening to. Great messages. And so you will know that we're at the start of a series of 3 trilogies, a trilogy of trilogies. It's a bit like Star Wars, folks, you know. So think of me as the Phantom Menace this morning, if you like. I've already lost some of you already. You haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, have you? We're looking at the role and calling of the only 3 functions in the Bible that required the person to be anointed. And what are those functions? Those of you who've been listening? Yes, prophet, priest, and king. And each of the messages you're going to hear, we're going to look first of all at the functioning in the Old Testament of the prophet, priest, and king. Then we're going to look at the way in which Jesus fulfilled those functions with his coming to earth. And then we're going to look at how the church relates to those 3 functions. And this morning we're really going to focus in on a practical session on what prophecy is all about in the church. The church has been released into amazing gifting. And in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Are you glad to be part of that? You know, you're a royal priesthood. You know, you are all of these things. And that's what we're going to be applying. I loved it when Kristen said last week that the only other thing to be anointed in the Old Testament was what? The sacrifice. Well done. And I loved it because if you think they put oil on the sacrifice because it made it burn. That's what we're here to do, aren't we? We're here to burn for Jesus. And there's that verse, isn't there, that present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God. You know, we are that living sacrifice, and we need that anointing on us. So the last 2 weeks we looked at the role of the Old Testament prophet with Colin. We looked at the Jesus' perfect fulfillment of that prophetic role in his ministry. This morning, what does all that mean for the church? How can we be released into a fully functioning prophetic church? As I was studying for today, I came across this lovely book, The Holy Spirit and Spiritual Gifts Then and Now. It's an excellent book. Then I had a sudden prophetic moment of my own, and I quite literally began to weep. And let me explain to you, because God spoke to me and said that so many of us had rearranged the title of this book to say, The Holy Spirit and Spiritual Gifts Now and Then. Honestly, this is what God said to me, and it just hit me like an arrow. And I began to weep. And I began to confess, Lord, I think I've done that. That having come up through the whole charismatic movement in the 60s, I've been praying in tongues for 45 years. And I remember thinking, I've slipped. And I remember thinking about other churches that I've been part of and how we somehow dumbed down a lot of the life of the Holy Spirit in our churches. Now, this isn't the least bit critical, because I love this church and I love being here, but I miss those moments when someone in the congregation speaks out in a tongue above everyone else. You know, that's supposed to happen. We're going to read it in a minute. And I miss those moments when someone gets on their feet and interprets that tongue. And it's a glorious word to God saying, God, we love you so much. You're so amazing and so wonderful. And I remember thinking, yes, spiritual gifts now and then. So I want to provoke you this morning to try and recapture that whole charismatic life. Okay, we're doing fantastically well, don't get me wrong. And the whole thing of personal prophecy is going so well in this church, but I want to provoke you to be the first one next Sunday to either sing out all on your own or speak out all on your own a message in tongues. And then someone to bring the interpretation. I'm longing for that day, and I'd like it to be next week, please. If you don't do it, I will, okay? So the other thing it reminded me of, this whole thing, spiritual gifts now and then, is a church that I used to know very well, and it's not Jubilee, so don't go fishing. You won't have a clue where this is. Well, they had some beautiful banners around the church. One of the banners had a picture of boxes of presents with ribbon all tied up, and it had under the words, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I first saw that banner many years ago, I started weeping the same way that I started weeping when I saw that, because I knew that it was a church that treated the Holy Spirit gifts just like those boxes, that they weren't opened. Wouldn't it be awful? I was at a birthday party last night. I won't tell you where it was, because you'll wonder why you weren't invited as well. But wouldn't it be terrible if that person who had those wonderful gifts given to them just took them home and put them on the sideboard or somewhere and just never bothered to open them? And you know, I believe God weeps over his people, that he's given us these gifts and we haven't opened them and we're not using them. So I want to provoke you this morning to open and to use, especially this gift of prophecy. And after seeing that banner, I promised God that I would give myself to helping people to understand how to open and how to use these amazing spiritual gifts that God has given us and made available to the church. Before we get into the main body of what I want to bring, I just want to tell you a story from a year ago in Toronto, and it illustrates the whole thing about how prophecy can be so encouraging. I think some of you know that Mo and I went to Toronto to hear Heidi Baker and Joshua Mills and various other people at a conference. And we discovered that prior to the morning service, they have what they call a prophetic presbytery. It sounds like a medical condition, doesn't it? But prophetic presbytery syndrome. But you have to arrive an hour before the service, and you sign in the book, and then you're taken into a room with little groups of chairs, and you sit down, and there are three people who will prophesy over you into a tape recorder, and then you'll take it away. That sounds good, doesn't it? And if any of you ever been to any of those sessions in a church, they're just amazing, absolutely amazing. So Mo and I queued up and waited, and we went in, and there were two young people who were being mentored, and there was an older lady who was training them. And the day before, we'd been to Niagara Falls, and that was just spectacular. Mo really, really enjoyed it, and wasn't able to say much about it, but it's so clear that she enjoyed it. There we were on the Maid of the Mist and the blue plastic mats and everything, and it was so awesomely powerful. And so this very nervous girl who'd already been told that I was a pastor from England and thought, oh no, I've got to prophesy over a pastor. She said, I see you standing by a massive waterfall of God's just tremendous love and grace. He just wants to splash all over you. I don't ever think, I bet you say that to all the people that have just been to Niagara. But I just got so touched by that. And you know, Mo was taking all this in. And then the other girl brought something. And then the lady at the end said the most incredible thing, because I had just started a month before to get back into art. I'd been doing some painting lessons in acrylic and been doing some canvases. And it was the week when you had the 3 days of 24-hour prayer. And I wanted to come out at night, but I couldn't because I had to look after Mo. And so I got up about 2 o'clock in the morning and spent a couple of hours just with a really big canvas, just having fun. And it was on the theme of Let There Be Light. So this lady says, she says, I see you picking up paintbrushes. And I see you painting a really big canvas. And I think, God, you know me so well. And again, you know, when authentic prophetic life starts to touch you, you can't do anything but weep, can you? You know? Because God knows your address and he knows what your heart is. And so this is it. She's saying, I think God's going to use you in prophetic art and painting. And I could hardly speak. I owned up afterwards. But I just want to sort of touch you a little bit now on how impactful prophecy can be. Now then, I need a bit of help here because I have got some notes to give out because I don't think we're... Ah, they're up there. Good. Okay, well, if it'll be useful for you to have the notes as well, because I'm going to breeze through some of this on... part of this is going to be teaching, part of it's going to be preaching, and part of it's going to be prophetic, and I'll challenge you to spot what is what. Okay. So I feel a bit like Colin 2 weeks ago. How on earth do you cover the subject of prophecy in the church in half an hour? Even worse, I've given myself a task of doing something practical at the end. So here's the notes. You with me? Does that sound okay? Think we're going to manage with that? Would you turn, when you've got the notes, would you turn to 1 Corinthians 14? This is the purple passage on prophecy in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 33, and I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to have a look at how these things are supposed to operate in the church. Paul says, and this is really important, the first statement here is more important than the whole of the rest of it, really, and Colin will agree with this. Follow the way of love. Amen? And eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And that's not a bad thing. Some people think, oh, you see, if you speak in a tongue, you puff yourself up. But that's not what it means, all right? Some people are trying to make it say that. It means he who speaks in an unknown tongue, you know, does some spiritual bodybuilding, builds themselves up, makes themselves strong. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you're praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your mind, in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people. But even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign for believers, but for... I've read that completely wrong, which is utterly confusing. Let me go over it again. Tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. I think I'm probably going to leave it there. It'd be good for you to read that whole chapter, actually, as you do a bit of homework and as you take the notes home. Where it all begins is where I said at the beginning, make love your aim. I'd like us to shout that out together. Can we do that? You know, 1, 2, 3, make love your aim. 1, 2, 3, make love your aim. Now look at somebody and shout it at them, all right? You can shout at each other, it's all right. 1, 2, 3, make love your aim. Now someone else, make love your aim. Okay, without love, the whole thing falls apart. So on the notes now, what is Christian prophecy? Prophecy is neither bizarre nor ecstatic. It is a perfectly intelligible word from the Lord through a member of his body inspired by the Spirit and is given to build up the rest of the body. It is a message which the speaker does not make up. It is born in upon him. He has to speak it out and it is an act of faith. He or she does not normally know how it will end, only how it must begin. And as you see, I've relied a lot on Michael Green for these notes. You know, sometimes you're preparing something and you think, actually, I can't do better than that order. And I think it's good to admit it when you've reached that point. It's a brilliant, brilliant chapter on prophecy when Michael Green is writing about the whole letter to the Corinthians. So that's where I've got it from. But here you've got this really, really helpful definition of what prophecy is. I haven't seen a better one, to be honest. And just to say that before the birth of Christ, Israel had experienced 400 years of virtual prophetic silence. You've got all the prophets in the Old Testament and then 400 years of almost total silence. And there was a gloom and a darkness and a blindness over the nation. Just a few faithful, hidden prophetic men and women were there. You remember Simeon and Anna in the temple when Jesus is brought as a baby and how these two had been faithful and they themselves had a prophetic anointing on them and they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And then as Jesus is born, pow, there's a whole prophetic Holy Spirit explosion with Mary and Zacharias and John the Baptizer, Jesus and the apostles are all beginning to hear from God and to speak out and to prophesy. So what's happening in all of this? It's a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Can you turn to Acts chapter 2? Just go back a few pages. And this is the explanation that Peter gives to what is happening when the church first receives the gift of tongues and is beginning to praise God in languages they never learned. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So can you see that there, the whole thing of prophecy being set loose, not just among special Old Testament type prophets, but the whole church, right from the most educated person to the most humble servant or slave, can expect to now begin to prophesy. Hallelujah! It's breaking open. It's something for everyone. And you'll know the famous words that that Peter uses in his sermon, where people saying, what's going on here? What's all this speaking in tongues? What is all this? It's so strange. And he says, this is that. And I love it. I think this book's been written just called This Is That. Certainly whole sermon's preached on This Is That. I want you to realize this morning, you are part of the This Is That generation. The things that are available to you are just quite awesome, quite amazing. So let's look at what Christian prophecy is. First of all, Christian prophecy is widespread in the New Testament. And the prophets were active in all of the major cities, in Jerusalem, in Rome, in Antioch, in the churches in Asia, right through the seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation. Widespread. It's not just an isolated thing that happens from time to time. Secondly, and I'm going to sweep through this, it's highly valued in the church. And the prophets, the prophetic people, or the prophetic anointing in a particular meeting, the whole prophetic move that can be on everybody equally, works alongside the apostles, okay? It doesn't replace the apostles. It complements the work of the apostles. It's equal to the work of the apostles, but it's subordinate to the apostolic leadership in the church. It never goes beyond, never adds to apostolic teaching or scripture, but it adds to an understanding and frequently to an application of these things that are being revealed. So widespread in the New Testament, highly valued. It is very varied because our God is a creator God and the whole variety. Oh, I forgot to say, did you like the Star Wars effect of the words coming up? I just thought, see, it is the Phantom Menace. Let's get back. Very varied. And prophecy comes from men and from women, from the old and the young, sometimes even from prophetic groups. It can come as a prediction of something that might happen. It can come as a word of encouragement. It can come as pictures. It can be released through words of knowledge. And it can even be prophetically enacted. You'll know that there's the prophet who kind of binds his wrists up with a belt and explains to Paul how that's a picture of what will happen to him. So it can be a prophetic enactment. And you know, it's, prophecy is especially useful in the opening up of new regions for the gospel. If any of you have read any of Heidi Baker's adventures in Mozambique and how incredibly over 10 years, somewhere over 10,000 churches have been planted. That has been through signs and wonders and prophetic ministry. As people on her team have gone up to people and say, I believe God has this word for you, and so on and so forth. And we had some experience of that in Sierra Leone with the Big Year team in, back in May, didn't we? I'm just looking around. We just went out on the streets and God gave us stuff for the people. He's so faithful. You know, things to speak into people's lives we'd never even met before, and suddenly there are tears flowing and people are being healed physically, and just amazing. So you have all of that variety, rich variety of developing your prophetic gifting. Thirdly, having said what Christian prophecy is, it's important to say what Christian prophecy is not. It is not, and please note this down, it is not the equivalent to Scripture. It is not equivalent to Scripture. Prophecy Scripture is for all Christians in all places at all times. Do you believe that? You know, the written word of God handed down to us is for all Christians in all places at all times. Whereas prophecy is a particular word for a particular person or people for a particular time through a particular individual. So God is kind of bringing the strength of his word, but applying it prophetically to a people or a person. It's not the same as preaching, and some people have said that it is. Those who believe that prophecy died out with the apostles would say, well, you know, prophecy is just preaching these days. But it fundamentally isn't. Probably taking a risk here, might lose some friends. But I'm delighted to be in a church that encourages women to lead and to teach. I didn't hear many male voices there. In Paul's congregations, you will know, because you've read the book, that the women were not allowed to preach, but they were allowed to prophesy. Now, I'm not going to go down the route of, you know, those of you that rather wish women didn't preach, because I don't want to go down there. But I want you to know that there is a distinction between prophecy and preaching. Are you with me here? You know, otherwise, Paul wouldn't have been able to say, you know, women, you can prophesy, men, you can preach. Actually, I think that's probably because women are a lot better at prophesying than men are. I shouldn't have said that, because that will discourage the men. But it seems to come to them, you know, in a creative way. Maybe it's because they bear children and that whole thing of creativity in the heart of God. But women are often better at prophesying than men. And let me say, there are some men that I wish had not been allowed to preach. You're not laughing enough this morning. Shall I sit down? Does that include me? Okay. And thirdly, this area of not, it is not something that died out with the New Testament apostles, because there is evidence, clear historic evidence throughout the life of the church of prophecy being used and being a blessing to the church. Sometimes it's been abused and hijacked and misused. Sometimes it has been opposed and persecuted, but it's always been present. So let's move on to the fourth thing here. This is why I gave you the notes, so you wouldn't have to kind of struggle to write the notes. But what use is prophecy in the church today? Okay, now just close your eyes for a minute and think how you would answer that question. What use is prophecy in the church today? I'll give you just a few seconds to think, and then I want you to call out a few things, and then we'll look and see if they're on the list. So not allowed to look at the moment. That's why you've got your eyes closed. With your eyes closed, call out what you think what is useful about prophecy in the church today. Encouragement. Direction. Reassurance. Good. Comfort. Revelation. Releasing opportunity. Closer to God. I like it, yeah. Absolutely. it's brilliant and it's so needed in the church today. So number one, it is a message to the church. This is not a personal ego trip by some member who needs their own ministry. Such a lot of danger done by people who feel they have a prophetic gifting but don't, and they're kind of at loggerheads with the leadership. That's never going to work, is it? Because that's not the way the Holy Spirit works. Secondly, it has a positive role in the life of the church. We've already read it's to build up and to encourage. So, you know, no negative words. How many of you have been present, you know, when some sour lemon-sucking prophet has said, "You're all damned! God's going to wreak havoc on you. And, you know, be careful as you walk through that door or a brick will fall on your head." And, you know, just people who just... That's not biblical prophecy. Okay? That's more bad news from a fortune teller. Thirdly, it has a rich variety of expression. And isn't it wonderful the different ways that God uses us prophetically? He uses us through our personality, the things that we like engaging with, and, you know, just the people that we are. So some of us will frequently get pictures in our mind and want to share those pictures. Some will have words of knowledge, giving insight, and that should be in words, not in pictures. And then there'll be some people that, as they are teaching, they will begin to flow into a prophetic anointing. And I hope you've been able to spot that as people have preached. You know, they've been imparting information, building you up in your knowledge and understanding of Scripture, and then suddenly, whoa, they're off there, and you know that what they're bringing is having prophetic effect on you and on the life of the church. So teaching beginning to flow into prophecy. And then very often a prophetic word can be a very, very brief utterance. Just two or three words is enough to kind of really capture someone. I mean, how God spoke to me through this, then and now, now and then. I think that was a prophetic word into my heart. And there's a verse in Haggai 13 verse 1 where all Haggai says to the people on behalf of God, speaking God to them, it says, "I am with you." You think, big deal, but sometimes people desperately need to hear that. And sometimes just to hear that will change their lives. So let's not despise, you know, "All I've got is God is with you." What use is that? Say it. And then watch how that person will be impacted by what God has given you to say. Very often the prophetic will flow on after tongues and interpretation. Tongues and interpretation often open the gateway, to put it another way, to prophecy coming. And through applying scripture that God has shown you. It's interesting to note that most of the breakthrough moments in mission in the book of Acts give evidence of new believers being baptized in water and then something being unlocked. Paul in Ephesus with the 12 disciples baptizes them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. And I just want to say, for some of you this morning, you came in and you feel a bit outside of all of this stuff. Maybe it's outside of your normal church experience. I want to say that God spoke to me and said, some of you are going to go home this morning having received a fresh gifting in the Holy Spirit. Some of you maybe have never spoken in tongues before are going to go home having received that gift. It is a precious gift from God. Some of you have never prophesied before are going to realize that God is going to drop that gift on you. You're going to be released in it. Okay, I'm going to go on. I'm going to speed up a bit. How do we test Christian prophecy? First of all, before you can test it, it has to be brought. So if the church is being lazy and not bringing prophecies, there's nothing to test, folks. It's not a problem. But let's pray that it will be a problem, that we will have more prophetic words to test. Firstly, does it glorify God? If you can see that it's glorifying the speaker or a movement more than it's glorifying God, then be suspicious. Is it biblical? Please don't be silly about this. You know, people have argued against anything they don't like on the basis that the actual word is not in the Bible. So I'm not going to go with it. You know, things like organs and guitars. Where do you find organs and guitars in the Bible? They're not there, so we're not having them in our church. And then things like cremation, blood transfusions, even gold dust and gold teeth. Where do you find those in the Bible? And the question is more, does it say something that offends biblical teaching? Or does it support and illuminate biblical teaching? So can we be a bit more mature and sensible about it and say, it's not in the Bible, I'm not doing it. Otherwise you'll find you won't do very much at all. Does it build up the church? Now that doesn't mean, is it comfortable? You know, is it soothing and comforting? Oh, that builds up the church. Because sometimes God does have to bring words of correction. And through John, Jesus speaks to the churches in Asia, and he says to Ephesus, "I have this against you. You've left your first love." Now, if I've left my first love, I'd want to hear about it, wouldn't you? But it's not comfortable to hear that stuff. So sometimes the prophetic is not comfortable. But the question is not, is it comfortable, but does it build up the church? Is it given with love? That is the primary gift. Is the speaker submitted to the leaders of their church? So much damage has been caused by roaming, unaccountable, self-appointed prophets who, well, let's not go there. Sixthly, because I do want to sweep on, you can take these home and chew them over. Is the speaker in control of themselves, and is the message too long and complicated? Because if they're not in control of themselves, if it's too long and too complicated, those are both good warning signs that it may just be from the person's own flesh, their own mind, and not from the mind of Christ. Okay, I know I'm going fast, but I want to get there, all right? Sixthly, requirements for Christian prophecy. What are the requirements? What must we be in order to receive a prophetic anointing as individuals or as churches? First, be expectant. Paul's very clear. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Pray for it. Honour it and embrace it. I mean, just think of something that you eagerly desire. I eagerly desire to go and watch London Irish this afternoon. And I shall make sure that I get there. And if you eagerly desire something, then you make sure that you get there. You don't think, oh, well, yeah, I'll give it a try. You know, maybe. I want to stir up in you this morning just a real hunger and desperation for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because you can have all of them. You know, some churches teach that, well, when you found your gift, you know, stick to it. But you can receive all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit any day of the week. You can. I give you permission to move in signs and wonders and miracles, in words of knowledge, in wisdom, in healing. Just all of it is for you. So don't limit God and say, well, that's not my gift. Don't let me hear you say that ever again. Okay. Secondly, be obedient. Acts 5:32 says, we are his witnesses to these things. So also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. You're going to start out feeling inadequate. You're going to start feeling nervous. But push through and you will grow in your gifting. We need to be worshipful. The environment of worship releases prophecy. This is so important. Worship above everything else releases the prophetic. I went to hear Joshua Mills, the guy who we met with his family in Toronto last year. He was speaking at a church in Chiswick. And halfway through his beginning to speak, he went and sat on the keyboard and started to play some more worship songs. And just the presence of God came into the room. Just completely amazing. And I know he's quite a controversial character, but I think he's great. And I'm going to see him after I've been to the rugby. So I've got a busy day today. Anybody want to come with me? Come and see me afterwards. I've got three spare seats in the car. It might involve you going to the rugby as well, though. But it's another story. Fourthly, we need to be loving. And I keep saying this. A welcoming and forgiving atmosphere is vital for the development of the prophetic. And it's okay, folks, to make honest mistakes. You're not going to get it right all the time, every time. We all start off in the prophetic with our L-plates on. And we all crunch the gears. We all do that. Of course we do. But then as we learn how God is giving us stuff, then we become keener to go up the gears. And the Ferrari is off on the road. Fifthly, be encouraging. Rejoice always, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Just be encouraging of one another because of God's great goodness. Now, that's worked through the information that I wanted to bring you. I want to tell you about two encounters with the prophetic in my own life that have totally and utterly changed my life. Then we're going to do a little bit of practical. I mean, can we leak on till about 10 past? Is that all right? Is that difficult? Is that difficult? You know, I mean, okay, right. Here we go. In May of 1990, I had a, I'll just share this one. I won't share the second one. May of 1990, I had a really specific personal prophetic word that gave a huge amount of shape to my life. It's all your fault because it was all River Church that set this meeting up. Some of you were there in May of 1990 with Dale Gentry, and the meeting was almost over, and he brought some amazing prophetic accurate words into people's lives. And then he pointed at me and said, The man in the multicoloured shirt, I had a most awful Czech multicoloured shirt on. I'm ashamed of it now. But anyway, I sort of shuffled forward and Dow said, there's nothing too hard for God, Terry. These are his actual words. There's nothing too hard for God, Terry. You are going to be a visionary, a dreamer as never before. Before your life is over, you're going to touch nations and your heart is going to burn for nations. You're going to send out teams. They're going to be sent to the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to train and mobilize and train. God is going to use you to touch hearts and lives of people over this world. God says, lift up your eyes to the north, south, east and west. You're going to be a motivator. You're going to be a motivator. You're going to motivate people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to organize teams and send them forth. You're going to be a man who's in touch with the world, and the hand of God is going to be mightily upon you. I lay my hands upon you and declare that God is at work in you. Hallelujah to God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is too hard for God. In Jesus' name, I release you by the laying on of my hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Nice and Pentecostal, isn't it? I was just blown away. And within a year, I'd gone to Sierra Leone. And you know the story of my life. It's just been incredible how that has impacted me. How else would I ever have met and prayed and prophesied over the president of Sierra Leone and his wife? I would have thought, well, I can't do that. Fat chance of that happening. How else would I have been bold enough to paint a prophetic picture just before the general election and give it to Theresa May, the now Home Secretary? And that painting is now hanging in her office. How else would I have known to do that? And it's a painting that prophetically spoke of the coalition, because it's got the colours of blue and yellow in it. And she understands that that's a prophetic painting. I wouldn't have had the courage to do that. How else would I have been able to be the one who preached a gospel message in Freetown in 1994 that resulted in a young 19-year-old giving his life to Jesus? That man Andrew is now leading Heidi Baker's team in Freetown and overseeing four congregations. He's just built a secondary school and he's going further than I've been, you know? That's what the prophetic releases. If you open yourself up to this amazing prophetic anointing, understanding that God is simply longing to pour it out on you. What now? Okay, what now? If we can take just literally 5 or 10 minutes to do this, and it won't take that long. I want us to do a practical one-to-one prophetic encouragement in pairs, and I want, Jean, if you'd like to come out and, you know, this can run over on into the coffee time. You can carry on doing this and someone can bring you a coffee, but Jean, if you'd like to explain the materials that are hidden under there, and I'll then say about the other thing.
Right, on the side over here, we've got art cards, which can be obviously drawn on, but it may be you've just got a word or a scripture or whatever for somebody. So you can use them in any way you feel you want to. There's crayons and art stuff there, things to use there. Then there's also some boxes of prophetic gifts and things. For some people, they maybe don't see a picture or a word easily, but they're a gift person. And there are lots of little tiny bits, there's some words, there's all sorts of things. And that piece may well speak to you to how to pass that on. Now, I'm not explaining this very well, but for instance, there is, I'm trying to think what's quickly, there's a smiley face, for instance, there. And for some people, just to know that God is smiling on them, you know, is just a way of thinking. So look at what the different gifts and things are, the different bits and pieces are there, and just ask God, what does this particular thing mean to me? What's the attributes of it? What do I see in that, that I see in, that you can speak into someone else? So, yeah. But just, we're going to be calling out the good, letting other people see the greatness that is within, that God's actually put within them.
That's great. Now, the other thing we're going to do is, for those of you who would like to receive a greater release of the prophetic anointing in your life, or maybe you've never spoken in tongues and prophesied, you've never been filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, I'd like to get the ministry team to come and join with me, maybe over this side for a change, yeah? And we'll make sure that you... that by the time you leave, you know, you're filled with the Spirit. And if you've always wanted to speak in tongues, but you thought, that's never going to happen for me, it will happen this morning, I promise you. I've seen hundreds of people released into that gifting in a way that they never thought they would. So that's it, folks.